Today, the church celebrated the feast day of St. Luke the Evangelist, whose gospel account we've been hearing over these many Sundays. Tradition holds that Luke, who had traveled with St. Paul, wrote his account towards the latter part of the first century for the Christian Gentile community in modern-day Syria and Greece. As with all the inspired authors of the Gospels, Luke's narrative of Jesus' life and ministry was written with certain themes that were specific to the message which he was conveying to his audience, and in this case, challenging believers to put their faith into practice more fully. Luke calls upon the Christian disciple to identify with Jesus, who is caring and tender toward the poor and lowly, the outcast, the sinner, and the afflicted, towards all those who recognize their dependence on God. To this extent, we find in Luke the most mentions of Jesus' mercy and compassion, the role of the Spirit in Jesus' life and the Christian disciple, Jesus' concern for women, and the central theme of today's liturgy, the importance of prayer. The church teaches that prayer is the living relationship of the children of God with their Father, who is good beyond measure, with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. According to Scripture, it is the heart that prays. If our heart is far from God, the words of prayer are in vain. As we hear in Luke, Jesus opens his sermon on the plain with the words, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." In terms of faith, poor is also associated with those who are poor in spirit. And from this viewpoint, we hear Jesus inviting us to consider that the first step towards God's kingdom is to be poor in spirit. So what exactly is meant by being poor in spirit, and how does it affect our prayer life? In today's gospel, Jesus illustrates what poverty of spirit is: humility, recognizing that all of us are beggars before God in prayer. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus presents a contrast between both men to teach us the right attitude for prayer and for invoking God's mercy. As we heard, both men had gone up to the temple to pray, but they do so in very different ways and obtain different results. The mention of these two individuals by their background and not by their name presents certain assumptions about their lives and positions in the society at that time. One manner of looking at the contrast is that of appearances versus reality. The Pharisee would have been known to be observant and knowledgeable of the law of Moses and the practices of the Jewish faith. He was more than likely held in high esteem by his contemporaries as a leader of the people. The tax collector, on the other hand, would have been seen as a collaborator with the Romans and declared an outcast among faithful Jews, since the profession had a reputation for corruption and theft. From the onset, Jesus' audience would have readily concluded that the prayers of the Pharisee, the righteous, would find favor with God, while that of the tax collector, the despised, would be ignored. Jesus, who judges justly and affirms the right, challenges these presumptions as he reveals that not all things seem as they appear on the surface, as he describes their manner of prayer. The Pharisee goes before God standing straight and tall. He is a proud man who is confident of himself and his manner of life. He seems to look at God face to face while he looks down on others, particularly the tax collector, who dare not raise his eyes to God. He offers thanks, but is more thanksgiving for himself than a praise to God for his goodness. Instead of having the Lord before his eyes, he has a mirror. The Pharisee walked toward the temple, sure of himself, but he was unaware of the fact that his heart had lost the way. In contrast, the tax collector presents himself in the temple on his knees with a humble and repentant spirit. He recognizes God, from whom all good things come, and he realizes his need for mercy. He acknowledges the one who can give that gift, lowers his eyes, strikes his chest, and lifts his heart in prayer. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. At the heart of the prayer is his recognition that he not only wants God's mercy, but he needs God's mercy. All that he has and is comes from God. His life has meaning because of God. He also recognizes that he's dependent on God's mercy for life. The tax collector's simple prayer is quite profound. He acts out of humility, certain only that he is a sinner in need of mercy. If the Pharisee asked for nothing because he already believed that he had everything, the tax collector can only beg for the mercy of God. The example of the tax collector invites us to consider our stance before God. How do we approach God in prayer? Do we recognize God's goodness and his mercy? How do we express our thanksgiving or our petitions to God? And for those times when we have missed the mark, Jesus invites us to be with him in the sacrament of reconciliation, where he hears the cry of the poor and redeems the lives of his servants. Friends, Jesus' parable reminds us that the prayer of a proud person is not strong enough to reach God's heart, while the prayer of a humble and contrite heart is capable of opening wide the door to God's mercy and love. Our great comfort and hope is that God hears the prayers of all of us who are struggling to be better. We pray that our cries to him can even pierce the clouds, and we pray for the grace to do the best with what we have. Hold in your hearts that being poor in spirit opens one to the kingdom of God, and this opening allows God's grace to work within our lives, transforming it, enriching it, and strengthening it. For in the words of St. Paul, the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. To him be glory forever and ever. So as we leave Mass today, inspired by the Word of God and nourished by the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, what are those steps that we can take to be poor in spirit, to always humble ourselves before God in prayer, giving thanks for his blessings and opening our hearts to his mercy and his love?
I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.